All right, we're beginning here on the top of Mem Tet Amud Aleph. Just to remind ourselves what we left off with, is that how do we know that there's an equal with regards to the Avodot of the Olah? We have mentioned about Shkita and Kabbalah, but they're only mentioned once. And we know the principle by Kodashim is, it's only mentioned once, it's the mitzvah, it's only the chatkila. In order for it to be me'akev, you either need to have it repeated twice, or you need a word like hukah or Torah, to tell you that that davar is me'akev. The Gemara wants to know, by Olah, how do we know it's me'akev? Gemara answered, because how could it be that the tefel would be more chamor than the ikar? And that is the original source for the fact that these avodot have to be done in the tzafon, derives from the Olah. And we learn from the Olah to the chatat. And by chatat, we already proved that chatat has this mentioned multiple times. And for that reason, everything is me'akev with regards to the chatat. The Gemara says, if it's ma'akev by the chatat, it certainly has to be ma'akev by the olah. If the olah is the source, and the derivative has a din that it's ma'akev, then certainly the source must be ma'akev. So that's where we left off. When do we ever find that the derivative should be more chamur than the source? The source is olah, the derivative is chatat. How could chatat be ma'akev and olah not be ma'akev? Amar le marzut rabbeid rab mari the rabino velo. Is that really true? Is that principle really a principle? We have other cases where that's not true. Vare ma'aser, here we're speaking about ma'aser sheni, du nifde, that is, redeemed, v'ilu lakoach v'kesiv ma'aser. On the other hand, something that is purchased with the monies of ma'aser, enu nifde, cannot be redeemed. Ditznan, we have a mishnah, halakoach v'kesiv ma'aser, shinitma ipade. If you have something that is purchased with monies of Maiser Sheni, that became Tameh, it can be redeemed. Rav Yehuda Omer, Ikaver. On the other hand, Rav Yehuda says, you bury it, you cannot redeem it. So now here it's not clear from which of these two statements is there a proof. You have Rav Yehuda and you have the Chachamim speaking in the Mishnah that we brought. From which of those opinions are we trying to prove the fact that the Tefel is more Chamor than the Ikar? We know with regards to Ikar, Maaser Sheni, that it is redeemed. The Torah tells us, if it's too far away, it's too much for you to carry it, then you redeem it onto Kesef. There's Pidyon Maaser Sheni. Then you take the Kesef up to Yerushalayim, and in Yerushalayim you purchase food items that will become Maaser Sheni, will have the Kedusha of Maaser Sheni. So now Rashi claims that the question is, Aliva de Rabbi Yehuda. The question is according to Rabbi Yehuda, and the Baal Tosfot should bring a Tosefta that is supportive of that view, that the question derives from Yehuda, and that is the difference with regards to Tuma, which is, by Maaser Sheni, it can be redeemed, as Rashi says, Afilu b'Yerushalayim im nitma. Even in Yerushalayim, if you have Maaser Sheni, it can be redeemed if it becomes Tameh. That's based on the limud from the Pasuk, Milo Tuchal Se'eto, since you cannot, the Pashat of the Pasuk is Se'eto, is you can't carry it, it's too heavy, therefore you want to redeem it. But if you remember that we learned the limud is bein se'et el achila shenem vayisam misaot me'et panav. So we learned that the word masam maseito has the meaning of eating, not just carrying. So therefore we learned lo tuchal se'eto means if you cannot eat it. Why can't you eat it? It's because it was tameh. So given that, you can redeem it when maaser sheni is tameh. That's core maaser sheni, that if it becomes tameh, you can redeem it in Yerushalayim. That's regards to the core Maaser Sheni. On the other hand, according to Rabbi Yehuda, when it comes to Alakuach, because of Maaser Sheni, if something is purchased with monies of Maaser Sheni, that item, if it becomes Tameh, Yikaver, will be buried. So that is the meaning here of the Chumrah, which is that the derivative of Maaser Sheni cannot be redeemed, whereas Maaser Sheni itself can be redeemed. So that's the view of Rashi. The Baal Tosafot bring an alternative view as to what is the question over here, and it's actually, if you look in the Gemara in parentheses, that is the piece that's taken out that we don't have, because Rashi's explanation can't deal with this girsa, because the question's from Yehuda, not from the Chachamim. On the other hand, if you think the question's from the Chachamim, this is what the Gemara says over here. Nitma in, lo nitma lo. So that means that when the Chachamim say, Alakuach mekesef maaser, shin nitma, that became tamei, Ipadeh, you can redeem it. And the Gemara says about that, nitma in, if it becomes tamei, you can redeem it. Lo nitma, if it wasn't tamei, lo, you cannot redeem it. So that would be the difference between them. By regular Maaser Sheni, you can redeem it. Anytime you have Meiser Sheni, you don't want to carry it up to Yerushalayim. You want to bring monies instead, you're allowed to redeem it. Over here, the Chachamim's position is that something purchased with Kesef Meiser Sheni, if it becomes Tamei, you can redeem it. But if that means if it wasn't Tamei, would not be able to redeem it. And that is the Chumrah over here. The Gemara's answer, in either case, whether you think the question is from Rabbi Yehuda or the Chachamim, the Gemara's answer is, Hatam lo alima kidushate limitpeas pijune. The concept the Gemara uses in a number of places, which is when an item is a derivative, sometimes it loses the level of kiddusha. You have it also with regards to tumah. Tumah, as it's conveyed forward, it starts to diminish in its power. And similarly, with regards to kiddusha, as it's passed forward, it diminishes in its power. And that actually makes something which it seems somewhat counterintuitive, makes it less likely or more improbable that you can actually redeem that kedusha. The stronger the kedusha is, the more separable it is from the item itself. So when you have Meiser Sheni, which has that highest form of kedusha, you can somehow take away the kedusha from the object and then place it onto something else. Because of the strength of the kedusha, it gains a certain amount of independence that can be transferred. On the other hand, once the kedusha diminishes because you've transferred it onto something else and then transferred it to new fruits or items that you're going to eat in Yerushalayim as Meiser Sheni, the Kedusha is diminished along the way, and now it's not strong enough or independent enough that you can separate it away from the object. And for that reason, the Kedusha of Meiser Sheni can be transferred. The Kedusha of derivatives of Meiser Sheni cannot be transferred. That's not a Chumrah. It's actually because of the fact that the Kedusha has diminished. And that's actually a Kula in a sense. The kula is actively a chumrah, but it's a chumrah that is really based on the fact that the kedusha is diminished, not because it's a chumrah associated with the derivative item. Where it says, v'arei tmura. We also have a case by tmura, where it seems like the derivative is more chamur than the primary item. Dilu kodoshim lo chayle abamum kavua. When it comes to kodshe mizbeach, if someone consecrates something in the mizbeach, and afterwards it gets a mum kavua, then you redeem the animal. The animal becomes what's called psuleya muktashim, which the Torah in Sefer Dvarim describes to us what the principles of psuleya muktashim are. You can eat it, but it has certain restrictions that are associated with it, including no giza, no avodah, certain things that you're not allowed to do with it. But you redeem it, and then those monies are used to purchase a replacement korban. The other hand, if you have an animal that has a mum up front, before you were makdish the animal, so the animal has a mum kabua, and then you're a makdishit. You can't be makdishit the kedushat mizbeach, because it's inherently pagum from the outset. And that means that the only purpose for this animal is for its monetary worth, not for kodshei mizbeach. So if you have an animal with a mum kabua and you say, I want this to be an ola, does not work. It becomes kedushat damim, and then you have to use those monies to purchase an ola. You can't give it inherent kedushat, you can't give it kedushat mizbeach, because the mum kabua is already there, which invalidates it from the outset. And so therefore you can't create kedushat mizbeach. But that's regards to when you're starting with an animal and you want to be makdishit, if there's no mum, you can be makdishit mizbeach. A mum comes later, you can redeem it, but as it says, psulim kedushim. The other hand, if it has a mum up front and you're makdishit, it only gets kedushat damim. That means if you redeem it, all kedusha is taken away and there's no din of psulim kedushim with regards to this animal. Vilo I chaylo. On the other hand, by tmura itself, you can't place the kedusha of tmura onto an animal with a mum kavua, and that is because the way the pasuk is structured is lo yamir tov vira vira b'tov. You're not allowed to do tmura moving from bad to good and good to bad. The Gemara tells us that good means an animal that is tamim, bad means an animal that has a mum in it. And so the restriction of tmura is to transfer kedusha from an animal that is kadosh b'kedushat mizbeach onto another animal, irrespective of whether you're upgrading or downgrading. You're not allowed to do it. So now, in the case where you're downgrading, that means you're taking it from a tamim animal, and you're trying to put it onto a baal mum. And the Torah says, "Hu utmurato yakodesh." Both the original animal and the animal that you are trying to move the kedusha onto, both become kadosh. That means that a kedusha is passed from the animal to the mum kavua animal, even though tmura is a derivative. The original kedusha is generated when you're makdish the animal. Tomorrow is trying to exchange that kedusha onto something else. Despite the fact that it's a derivative, it's stronger, and it has the ability to overcome the problem of mum kavua, and it will generate kedusha. Obviously, it can't go on the mizbeach, but it will generate kedusha, which we'll have to redeem, and the animal will be classified as psulim and tashim, which is not true when you're starting from scratch. My answer is tmura mikoach kodoshim ka'atya, kodoshim mikoach chulim ka'ati. You have to know where you're starting from. By the case where you're being makdish something, it's as if you're getting a standing start. Because a standing start is it's chulin, and now you're trying to be makdish something that is chulin. That's much harder to elevate the item to a level of kedusha when you start from scratch. On the other hand, when you're working with tmura, you're dealing with kedusha that already exists, and all you're trying to do is transfer the kedusha. You're not trying to generate from scratch kedusha. You're doing a transfer of the kedusha, and that is much easier to do. And I would even say it this way. The fact that the kedusha pre-exists makes it as if the kedusha preceded the baal mum. And again, in a case where you have a mum kavua, you can't get kedusha onto that animal, or kedusha mizbech onto the animal. But if you got kedusha mizbech onto it, then the mum affects it that you can't put on mizbech, but it's still psulei mekdashim and you redeem it. Similarly with tmura, the kedusha preceded the mum in some sense because the animal that is kadosh was allowed to be kadosh. And then when you transfer it onto the baal mum, it's as if the kedusha preceded that baal mum, and that's why it is effective. And again, this does not undermine our principle that the derivative cannot be more chamur than the ikar. Another try at this to undermine it. Very Pesach. Doin oton. When it comes to a korban at Pesach, it does not require smicha. When you bring the korban at Pesach, it doesn't require nisachim, doesn't require the libations. Utnufa chazeh v'shok. And you have to do a wave offering with the matnot kuna, because there are no matnot kuna with regards to Pesach. V'ilu, motar didei, a residual, a leftover korban at Pesach, ta'un smicha, it requires smicha, unisachim, and libations, utnufa chazeh v'shok. The reason is, and that's going to be the answer as well, because motar Pesach has a din of shlamim. So Pesach, v'shari motar shona, shlamim hu, that's the answer. The answer is that the Pesach, the remainder of the year, is a shlamim. All of these items have nothing to do with Pesach, they have to do with a shlamim. The reason you require it is because the korban is now a shlamim. Motar Pesach is not a Pesach. Motar Pesach is a shlamim. Or the way that we've stated in the past, Pesach is a specialized type of shlamim, it's a subset of shlamim. So bizmano, you treat it like a Pesach. Shlo bizmano reverts back to its primary form, which is that of a shlamim. And for that reason, these matnot, or these extras that come along with a shlamim, apply to it. It's not because it's a Pesach, but rather because it is a shlamim. The Balei Tosafot over here ask about Maaser Behema. The regards to Maaser Behema, we'll learn this once we get to later on in Bechorot, and later Masechton and Kodoshim, that when it comes to Maaser Behema, if you're Makdish by accident, the ninth animal, the tenth, and the eleventh animal, in those cases, all of them are Kodesh, including the 11th animal, which is a shlamim. Now Tosafot says, why don't you say that Maaser Behema itself, the 10th animal, doesn't require nisachim, doesn't require smicha, doesn't require tnufa chazeh v'shok. Yet, the 11th animal, which is a shlamim, does require all of those items. So you see, a derivative of Maaser Behema is something that has more demands that are more chamor than the Maaser Behema itself. By Tosafot answer, similar to what we said by the Pesach, that the 11th is not a Maaser Behema derivative. It is a shlamim. And since it is a shlamim, it requires all the trappings of a shlamim. And so it's not really a derivative of Maaser Behema. Isn't contextually, it's found in the world of Maaser Behema, but it is a shlamim. And similar to Pesach, that's why it has all of these items. The Gemara tried to challenge what we said. Lo meklum matzinu tefel chamur min ikar, brought three challenges to that, and we dismissed all those challenges. And therefore, our answer to the question, with regards to how do we know that Ola, these items in the Tzafon are me'akev, Shchita, Kabbalah have to be done in the Tzafon and they are me'akev, that is because Chatat is learned from it. And Chatat is me'akev, so certainly Ola must be me'akev. Ibai Tema, the Gemara gives an alternative here, Amarkra ha'Ola. The Tepasuk says, ha'Ola bimkoma tehe, that it should remain in place. The truth is, the word ha'ola appears numerous times when the Torah speaks about ola. Likely here it's referencing to the seir of the nasi, the chatat that is brought by the nasi, because over there we actually have the limud that connects between the chatat and the ola, where it says, v'samach yadol rosh ha-seir, v'shachat uto bimkom, asher yishchat et ha'ola. Lifnei Hashem, Chatat, who? So there you're telling about the place, Bimkom. And in that place it says, Ha'ola. Ha'ola means that the Ola, Bimkomatehe, will remain in its place. Meaning that there is a certain amount of connection between the placement and the Ola, that is Me'akev, because it's Ha'ola. The Ola, the Ola that is connected with Safon, the Ola that's connected with the Makom. And for that reason, it is Me'akev. So that's the alternative way to get there. Now the Gemara moves on. We've dealt with Chatat and Ola. Now we move on to Asham. Because we're dealing here with all the Kodshei Kodashim. The Mishnayot began that all Kodshei Kodashim are Shkitatan Vitzafon. If that's the case, we have to go through all the Kodshei Kodashim and see how is that true. So again, we dealt with Chatat, Ola. Now we're up to Asham. Asham Menalan Debayit Safon. How do you know that a Nasham needs Safon? Dichtiv. Because the Pasuk says in Vayikra Zayin, B'zol Torat HaAsham, Kodesh Kodeshim Hu, Bimkom Asher Yishchatu Et HaOla, Yishchatu Et HaAsham, Ve'et Damo Yizrok Kal Mizbeach Saviv. So you see here a correlation between Asham and the Ola, because Bimkom Asher Yishchatu Et HaOla, the place where you do the Shechitat Ola, there Yishchatu Et HaAsham, Yushach the Asham. So we know the Ola is done in the north, so certainly the Asham here is going to be done in the north. Ashkaran Shechita. That's at least with regards to Shechita. Kabbalah Minolon. How do you know that applies to Kabbalah as well? My answer is, Vedamo Yizrok. Rashi says over here, it is from the Vava Chibur that teaches us this din, because it says, Bimkom Asher Yishchatu Et Ola, Yishchatu Et HaAsham, Ve'et Damo Yizrok. And so the ve'et, the vav chibur, tells you that which was true by Shechita is also true by the avodot hadam. And that's why you require north. The shita mikubetz, you can see here in the Ot Hei, also enhances that by saying that you can't be speaking about Shechita dam. It says here, ve'et damo yizrok, that you must sprinkle the dam, and then if you connect that to the Shechita, it would mean that you have to do Shechita dam bitzafon. And the Shishnimik of Etzim points out that's just not true. You don't have to do Zrikat Adam Vitzafon. And therefore he says, V'alkorchach Mishum Kabbalah Atya. It must be that the Edamo Yisroch is coming to teach you that the Kabbalah must be Vitzafon. V'atya Bishvil Zrikah, the Zrikah ain't a Vitzafon. Because the Zrikah doesn't have to be in the north. How you know that it doesn't have to be in the north might relate to the Machloket about where the Mizbeach exactly is placed. And there's a distinct possibility if you believe the Mizbeach is not in the Tzafon, that the Zrikat Adam will not be in the Tzafon. And even if you believe a portion of Mizbeach is not in the Tzafon, the way that we have the Shtayim Shein Arba, would turn out that one of those Matnot Dam is not in the Tzafon. So for that reason, we know it's not referencing Zrika. And so Be'et Damo Yizrok must be telling you that the Kabbalah to facilitate the Zrika is done in the north. But again, Rashi says it comes from the Vav HaChibur. So now the Gemara says, Mikabel Atzmo Minalan. How do we know that the Mikabel Dam also has to be in the north? Remember, we did this with regards to the Ola and the Chatat as well, which is by Shechita, it's only the Shechita that has to be in the north, not the Shochet. By the Kabbalat Adam, both the Kabbalah itself, as well as the Mikabel, have to be in the north. So the Gemara wants to know, by Hashem, you told me about Kabbalat Adam, how do you know that the Mikabel is there? Damo ve'et damo. From Dam ve'et damo, Rashi claims over here that the word et is extraneous, which is, you could have just said, Bimkom Asher Yishchatu Et HaOla, Yishchatu Et HaAsham, V'damo Yizrok. What is V'et Damo Yizrok? So Et is an Et Yitera, comes from Mirabeh. Comes from Mirabeh, not only is the Dam, but even the Mikabel has to be in the north when they're doing Kabbalat Adam. Ashkechan the Mitzvah. Now you told me you have it written once by each of these items. That means, L'chatkila, you have to do it this way. Le'akev Minolan. How do you know that it's also Me'akev? Shita Mekubetzit over here in Ovav asks, what's the Gemara's question with regards to Iku? V'im Tomar, Ma Bayi, Kevin Deikesh Asham Le'ola. Since the Asham's compared to an Ola, Im Kein Af La'akev Akshinan. Why don't we say that also applies to the Iku? To Ein Hekesh Le'mechza. Because you can't make a Hekesh Le'mechza. So if by Ola it's Me'akev, and you're learning from Ola, then by Asham it should also be Me'akev. And he asks the same question about a Chatat. Ishlomar, so he says over here, the Badai, you have a Hekesh Ktiva, B'lashon Zeh. Had the Hekesh been written in a more generic form, which is a Chatat Ki Ola, or that the asham is ke'ola, that you compare this korban to that korban, eino chanami, you would say that whatever was true of the ola or the chatat would be applicable to the asham. But here, the hekesh is done in a very narrow scope, which is that it's connected specifically to shchita. There's not a full-fledged hekesh over here, except that for which is written in the pasuk in particular. And just like if you had written it explicitly by the Hashem, it'd only be the mitzvah. So to over here, where it tells you specifically with shechita is compared to olah, it's as if it's written once in the pasuk. It's not a general or generic hekesh. And so therefore, the Shita Mikubetzet says the Gemara now has got to find an equal by Hashem, because the pasuk doesn't give you a generic comparison to olah, or generic comparison to chadat, where if they were me'akev, then you would assume the Hashem is also me'akev. Rather, it's spoken about a specific avodah of shechita, and therefore, now we have to search for another mention of shechita by the Hashem in order for it to be me'akev. Kro achrin aktiv, because we have an additional pasuk that is written by the Hashem mitzora. V'shachat et ha-keves, b'mkom asher yishchat et ha-chatat ve'et ha-ola. Yishach the keves, which is the Hashem mitzora, in the same location as the chatat and the ola. B'mkom ha-kodesh, ki k'chatat Hashem hu la-kohen, kodesh kodeshim hu. So you see over there that the Hashem mitzora has a requirement of tzafon with regards to shchita as well. And from that, now we have a duplication by Hashem for the necessity of tzafon, where it says, wait a minute, is that really true? That's what the pasuk there is for, to teach you la'akev by shchita. We need it for this braita. Davar shaya bichlal. Something that was part of a greater picture, or a more general, generic grouping. And then it left that group to have something unusual or unique associated with it. You can't return it to the general grouping until the pasuk takes it back and tells you to return it to its original location. Ketzad, give me an example of this. These are part of the Shloshusei Midot Trator Nidreshenhem of Rabbi Yishmael. Gemara and the Braita is saying, what's an example of that? It says, V'shachat et ha-keves, b'mkom asher yishchat et ha-chatat ve'et ha-ula, b'mkom ha-kodesh, ki ka-chatat ha-sham hu la-kohen, kodesh kodeshim hu. So that's the pasuk we just quoted before. She'en ta-hum ha-umar, ka-chatat ha-sham. Why does the pasuk end that the chatat and the asham are correlated? Matam alomer kachatat asham. So why does the pasuk mention that? Lefi sheyatza asham mitzora lidon vidvar hachadash. Because mitzora was something unusual. It has a unique aspect to it that's not found by other ashamot. Biboin yad, boin regel, ve'ozin yamanit. The requirement for matnot dam from the asham mitzora on the mitzora himself. That you have to take that dam, place it on his right ear, his right thumb, and his right big toe. Well, maybe the matnot dam of the Hashem Mitzora are different than any other korban. Other korbanot, the matnot dam are done on the Mizbeach. But here the Torah told you the matnot dam are done on the Mitzora himself. If they're done on the Mitzora himself, maybe there's no necessity for matnot dam on the Mizbeach. Tamalomar, kachatat, Hashem hu. That's what that hekesh at the end of the pasuk is coming to teach you, is that a chatat and an Hashem are equated. Ma chatat tuna matan damim ve'emurim lagam izbeach. Just like the chatat has matan damim dam and the emurim that go on izbeach. Af Hashem mitzora tun matan damim ve'emurim lagam izbeach. So too, the Hashem has that requirement of matan dam lagam izbeach. What the suggestion is that Hashem mitzora left the world of Hashemot. You have Zotorat Hashem, all Hashemot would be equated. And therefore, if you had something written by Hashem mitzora, we could apply it more broadly to other Hashemot. But that's before we had this break that told us that Hashem Mitzora left the world of Hashemot. It left the world of Hashemot because it has this unique aspect where the Matnot Dam are done on the Mitzora himself. Given now it's left the general rubric of Hashemot, you can't be machzirit achim zeru akatu b'feirush until the pasuk tells you it should go back into the world of Hashemot. So now we needed a specific pasuk which tells us, kachatat ha-sham hu. So that's with regards to the matnot dam. By the matno dam, it seems to be that there's something different or unique about the Hashem Mitzorah, which is you have to do the matno dam on the Mitzorah himself. So that took us out of the world of Hashemot. Since you took it out, you need a pasuk to return it. That pasuk is Khatat Hashemot. So now we know by dam, it's back in the world of Hashemot. But that means with regards to Shechitat Safon, you need that pasuk to teach you that there is Shechitat Safon. Period. For the Hashem Mitzorah. The Hashem Mitzorah is not in the world of other Hashemot because it was taken out. That means the pasuk's got to tell you in each instance that I got to bring it back to where it was before. And therefore the pasuk of Meshachat et hakeves b'mkom asher yishchat et achatat v'et ha'olah is needed for Hashem Mitzorah itself to tell us that there's Shechitat Safon by the Hashem Mitzorah because you wouldn't learn it or extrapolate it from other Hashemot. Im kein nichtov b'hai v'lo nichtov b'hai. If that's true, it should have written it over there and not over here, which means that if it was true that this does not have implications for the other Hashemot, then just write it by Hashem Mitzorah. If you write it by Hashem Mitzorah, then you can learn from Hashem Mitzorah to the other Hashemot. So the fact that we wrote it both by regular Hashemot and by the Hashem Mitzorah clearly indicates that there's a duplication over here. That's what Rashi says. Lichtov Shechitat Safon v'Hashem Mitzorah. V'lo nichtov gabi zot Torat Hashem. And don't write it by the other Hashemot. V'nigmar klalo minei. And then we'll learn the principle, the general grouping from the Mitzorah. V'dekat ve'hocha. V'hocha li'guvu. Now that it's written in both places, it must be the Ikuv. So we did it originally the other way around. We started from Zot Torat Hashem and said, oh, there we have north. Then we went to Hashem Mitzorah and tried to say that's a duplication. Mar says, you can't do that because you need it by Hashem Mitzorah. Mar says, all right, just do it in reverse. Start by the Hashem Mitzorah and say that we have north demanded by Hashem Mitzorah. You could have extrapolated from that to other Hashemot. And then when you have it written by Zot Torat Hashem, that's the duplication. And that's why it would be me'akev. So the Gemara says, Hanicha, that works well, Isfiralan yatsa lidon bitvar chatash. When it comes to an item that has left the klal, and it's gone on to new horizons, like the Hashem Mitzorah, iuhu delo gamar michlalo. If the item that has left the general grouping cannot be learnt from the general grouping anymore, until the pasuk brings it back. Aval klalo gamar minei. But on the other hand, if you want to learn from it to the general grouping, that's Shapir. That's totally fine. So that's exactly what we're trying to do here. We're saying the Hashem Mitzorah was taken out of the grouping of Hashem. So now you can't learn Hashem Mitzorah from other dinim by Hashem or regular Hashem. But that doesn't preclude you from learning regular dinim of Hashem from the Hashem Mitzorah. Ela isvirlan, if you believe, delohu gamar michlalo, that once it leaves the grouping, not only can it, the Hashem Mitzorah, not learn from the Hashemot in general, below klalo gamar minei. Also, the Hashemot themselves cannot be learned from the Hashem Mitzorah. I mean, once you leave the grouping, you're totally out. Both directions. There's no limud then that can move between Hashem Mitzorah and Hashemot in either direction. In that case, you need the Zot Torat Hashem to tell you in the north, because you can't learn it from Hashem Mitzorah. Where it says, Kevin dahadre ahadre. So this is, I think, partly an answer to the question you raised before. How many things do you have to bring back? How many things are issues that with regards to the Hashem Mitzorah you're going to have to bring back? That's what the Gemara answers in the end. When the Pasuk says, Ki kachatat Hashem hu, when it says that, it means it's taken back to the world of regular Hashemot. You don't need to state it by each specific din that that's the case. Once the Torah has given you a general principle that the Hashem, even though it has this unique aspect to it, it still has the regular trappings of an Hashem. It can be compared to a Chatat. Once you brought it back to the world of Hashemot, then you don't have to bring every detail back to the world of Hashemot. That general principle is enough. And then, when you have the Torah telling you that Hashem Mitzorah is shechted in the Tzafon, that's not necessary. Because once you brought it back to the world of Hashemot, you could have learned that from Zot Torat Hashem. That means now it's a duplication. The duplication will make it that it is Le'akev. Right now, Rashi says something here that's important and has implications based on the Baliyat Tosafot on the previous Amud. Rashi says over here that when it comes to this idea that you could learn something from Hashem Mitzorah to Hashemot in general and not vice versa, I mean, you can't learn from Hashemot in general to Hashem Mitzorah, Rashi says on the top Rashi here, Midei Delo Chidush Bo. You can't learn from Hashem Mitzorah to other Hashemot the thing that is unique about it. Which means that here, you're telling me, you can learn from Hashem Mitzorah to regular Hashemot. Well, if you do that, then what about the fact that the dam of the Hashem Mitzorah is put on the Mitzorah himself? Well, then maybe by all Hashemot, you should have to put the dam on whoever's bringing the Korban. So Rashi says, no, you have to understand. What you're allowed to learn from Hashem Mitzorah to other Hashemot are things that are generic about Korbanot. Things that are generic about it, that you can take from Hashem Mitzorah and apply it to other Hashemot. But if you go to the Chiddush, the thing that took Hashem Mitzorah out of the picture, you can't use that now to tell us something about other Hashemot. Because in the end, then it would no longer be a Dabar Chadash. Because that means that whatever you think happens by Dabar Chadash now is applied to everything, and it's no longer unique. Or, it's identical with, called Dabar Shia Bichlau, Vayatza Min HaKlau, Lo Lelamed Atzmo Yatza, Elo Lelamed HaKlau Kulo Yatza. When we have something that leaves the principle, we had this before by the Shlamim, that it leaves all Kodoshim by regards to Pigul, it teaches us something about all about Pigul. There's nothing Chadash about the Shlamim. Just in one place, the Torah mentions Kodoshim in general. One place it mentions Shlamim. Why does it mention Shlamim? To teach you something about the Klal as a whole. So if you said over here that you could apply whatever was true Hashem Mitzorah to all Hashemot, then you'd be doing that exact same thing. You'd be saying, oh, if Hashem Mitzorah mentioned something unique, apply it to everything. That's not what this is. This is a different principle. The principle here is once you leave and you're Dabar Chadash, you do not return. You do not return until the Pasuk tells you you can return. But that also means whatever is unique about this particular Korban remains uniquely associated with that Korban, and you cannot apply it to other things. So that's why Rashi says over here, Mide de lo chidush bo, things that are not a chidush, that you can learn from Hashem Mitzorah to Hashem, Kigon, Shkitat Safon, Iyav Aktive Bey, Velo Aktive Bishari Shemot, you can learn from it. So here, Tosafot asks, how do you know when something is a Davar Chadash, and how do you know that something is not just an additional item, which is to be extrapolated to other items? So Bali Tosafot on the previous Amud asked that question. He brings from the Rabbeinu Yaakov Meorleans, Elo lo karuei davar chadash, elo kish soter klalo. For something to be called a davar chadash, it has to be in opposition to or undermine something that is in the general principle. For instance, by the Hashem Mitzorah, the placement of the Madol Dam on the Mitzorah himself goes against what the din of a regular Hashem is, which is the Dam goes on the Mizbeach. So it is soter klalo. It goes against that which you know by the regular Hashem. That's why it's called a Davar Chadash. Ki ocha de shar shemot kol adam le mizbeach. By a shar shemot, it all goes on the mizbeach. By Hashem Mitzorah, hadam mimenu le behonot. On the other hand, the Hashem Mitzorah, the dam's going on the Mitzorah. Ukagon. And he gives another example, like Eshet Ach. Eshet Ach by Yivama. But the case of Yivama, the Torah gives an exception of Eshet Ach to say, even though it's Arayot, we override that for Yibum in order to do that. That's a Davar Chadash, Shenesru Kol Arayot, Bezuhutra. Because all Arayot are Asur, and this one was permitted. So now it becomes a Davar Chadash, that is Soter Deklalo. But, Avama, Shechatat Mitzora, what about the fact that a Mitzora brings not only an Hashem, he also brings a chatat. And the chatat of Mitzorah requires nisachim. It requires libations. Eino soter michlalo. That doesn't undermine the fact that other chatot do not require nisachim. Elo tosefet hu ala korban. It's an addition. It is not a stira. She says the difference between a dvar chadash is when the dvar chadash undermines. Is contradiction to what you know about the general principles of the Korban, or it's not consistent with that other Korban, whereas something that is just in addition is called a Tosefet. Since it is a Tosefet, it's not considered to be a Davar Chadash. So here, that Tosefot combined with the Rashi teaches you what is uniquely a Davar Chadash. Now, the Tosefot's explanation is compelling, except for the fact that we find in Torat Kohanim instances where it doesn't work out exactly that way, including the Korban Todah. By the Korban Todah, the Torah Kohanim, the Midrash Halacha on Vayikra says that it is Yatzah, the Ton Bidvar Chadash, because it has Lechem. It has all these items that are brought with it. What do you mean? According to this definition, it's a Tosefet. It's a Shlamim with a Tosefet of bread on top of it. It should not be a Davar Chadash. Yet, the Torah Kohanim calls it a Davar Chadash. So the Achronim give a little different or nuanced explanation of it, which is, you have to look not just at the klal of that korban, you have to look at the korbanot in general. And this is, I think, to answer your question, how do you know something's a davar chadash, is because you find safon by all the korbanot. It's not uniquely associated with Ashamot. The Olah, the Chatat, the Asham all have this idea of Tzafon there. Therefore, when it comes to the Asham Mitzorah, Tzafon is not anything unique. On the other hand, Matnot Dam, Bai Olah, Chatat, Asham, they all go on the Mizbeach. Suddenly, Asham Mitzorah, it doesn't go on the Mizbeach, it goes on the Mitzorah. That is a Davar Chadash. And similarly, when it comes to the breads of the Todah, every other korban comes and does not have lechem that is with it. There's no other korban with lechem. All of a sudden you have a korban with lechem in it. That is a davar hakadash. So, as opposed to Rabbi Yaakov Meorleans, who's using the benchmark as the grouping from which this item is coming from, the Yaakonim expanded to look at korbanot in general and to give you a broader base of what's considered to be normal, quote-unquote, within korbanot and what is considered to be a davar hakadash. And so through that, you understand, first of all, how do we define Davar Chadash? Number two is, as Rashi notes here, when you have a Davar Chadash, you can't extrapolate that to the other items or to the cloud. Even if you can learn from Hashem Mitzorah to Hashemot, you can't take the piece that is Davar Chadash, as well as, how do we know it's a Davar Chadash, and how to define what is a Davar Chadash. Amrle Mazutra, Braidver of Mari, the Ravina. So now, we're going to challenge this idea that when the Pasuk said, Kachatat, Hashem Hu, that means that we took it back into the world of Hashemot, and therefore the Shechita by Hashem Mitzorah is extraneous to learn the Iku from it. Let us say when it returns Hashem Mitzorah to the world of Hashemot, it's only with regards to Avodot Adam and the Hakravat Emurim, which are done by Kohanim. The reason to do that, by the way, it's not just speculative, it's because the way that the Pasuk is worded. The Pasuk says, Ki chatata Hashem hu la kohen, kodesh kodeshim hu. So it seems to be that the correlation between chatat and Hashem is uniquely associated with kihuna. Aval shchita, the lo bayi kihuna, but lo mi bayi tzafon. So then, shchita, which can be done by a zar, there you can't assume, just because the Hashem was returned to the world of Hashemot, that shchita was also returned to the world of Hashemot. Because the returning was done in a way that associated with Kehuna and Udat HaKohen. The Shechita, which is Kasher Bizar, maybe not. And then, if that's the case, then you need the Pasuk by Mitzorah to teach you Hashem Mitzorah gets Tzafon. Because you can't learn that from Hashemot in general. Because the Pasuk only returned Hashem Mitzorah to the world of Hashemot for things that are associated with the Kohen's Abudah. Where it says, Imke Nemakra, Ki Chachatat Hu. It could have just said, Ki Chachatat Hu. My kechatat ha'asham. Why does it end in the word asham? The pasuk could have just said, ki kechatat hu la'kohen kodesh kodeshim. The subject of the pasuk is asham already. You know that. That's what it's speaking about. So if you just said that, you would have said, oh, the asham's like a chatat. Why does it repeat the word and say, kechatat ha'asham hu? That's to tell you, in its entirety, the asham is returned. This asham Mitzorah is returned to the world of Hashemot. And therefore, the shechita is still extraneous and we can use it le'akev. And since the Kabbalat Adam is associated through the Vav HaChibur with the Shechita, once we know that Shechita is Me'akev, then the Vav HaChibur is going to tell us that Kabbalat Adam is also Me'akev. Now, Tosfot over here says that in terms of the Ikuv, that solves the problem with Hashem with regards to the Shechita, and possibly by Kabbalah, but he says, Le'mekabel lo yadir an Ikuva. Says, how do we know that there's an Ikuv by the Mekabel? Where do you have any duplication by the Mekabel that there also should be an Ikuv by Hashem? The truth is that the Balei Tosfot in yesterday's daf pointed out that once we make a hekesh between Kabbalat Adam and Mekabel, once you have that hekesh in place to say that whatever is true about Kabbalah is true about the Mekabel, you can then establish if Kabbalat Adam is the Ikuva, then the Mekabel should also be the Ikuva. And that's what Tosfot said at the end of yesterday's daf, Yesh Lomar, Kev Dashkan the Mitzvah Mekabel Ki Kabbalah, Huadin la'akev. That also applies it to Ikuv, and that may be why you don't need an Ikuv here specifically by the Mekabel once you establish it for Kabbalat Adam. The Gemara says, Lamali lakshuye lechatat, Lamali akshuye le'ula. The beginning of the pasuk that we quoted before says, Shachata the keves, bimkom asher ishchata the chatat, ve'eta ula. So by the chatat, when it wants to tell you you have to do things in the north, it says you do it bimkom asher asata ula. You do it in the same place as the Olah. So it connects the Chatat to the Olah, one item. When you get to the Asham, it tells you, oh, do it like the Olah and like the Chatat. And the truth is that Asham in the Torah comes after the Chatat and the Olah. The Chatat came after the Olah, so the Olah tells you north, so Chatat is compared to Olah. Now Hashem that comes after those, so it compares to both the Chatat and the Olah. That might be the simple understanding, but the Gemara says, you don't need to tell me that it has to be in the place of the Chatat and the place of the Olah. One of those two would have been sufficient to teach you Tzafon. Samaravina Itzrich. You need both of these. E Akshay the Chatat. Had it told you that it is connected to a Chatat, meaning that you do it in the north like the Chatat, Velo Akshay the Olah, and had not said that it's connected to the Olah, Hava Mina. Chatat Meichan Lamda. Where do we know the fact that a Chatat needs to be in the north? Me Olah. That's from an Olah. Now we have what is called Hekesh Mehekesh. You have a double Hekesh now. Davar Lameid Behekesh. Choserim Lameid Behekesh. You would have then concluded that it's possible to make a double Hekesh within the world of Kodoshim. You're taking from the world of Olah, Tzafon, bringing it over to Chatat through a Hekesh, and then from the Chatat, you're bringing it over to the world of Hashem through a Hekesh. So that is a Hekesh, the Hekesh, and you would have concluded that Davar made a Hekesh, Choserim made a Hekesh, which we think is not the case, but that would have been the conclusion had you only compared it to a Chatat. Now the truth is that this is somewhat difficult because this is not your classic type of Hekesh. Your classic type of Hekesh is that you have adjacency or you have the juxtaposition of two different korbanot, and therefore we say that there is a Hekesh, that connection, that juxtaposition generates some sort of correlation between the two of them. And this is called, in the parlance of the Shonim and Achronim, the Hekesh HaMifurash. It is a Hekesh that's explicit. It's not a hidden Hekesh. It's not a Hekesh that you have to say, oh, we see the juxtaposition, but rather it writes specifically, Shechad HaKeves Bimkom, Asher Yishchat Et HaChatat. It's no guessing work. It's telling you, it says, Shechad HaKeves Bimkom, Asher Yishchat Et HaChatat Ve'et Olah. In the place. So it's not even comparing a Hekesh to the Chatat and the Olah. It's saying to the place. And the place is something that we know. The place is Tzafon. And therefore it's not really a Hekesh. It's defining a location. Just like you say, Mizbach HaOlah, Mizbach HaZahav. All those are definitions of locations. They're not considered or classified as a Hekesh. And so therefore, how can you necessarily come to any conclusion about Hekesh to Hekesh when this is a stronger form of Hekesh? It's an unusual form of Hekesh where it's explicit, the Hekesh in the Torah. Karen Oras suggests over here, that's exactly what the Gemara is saying. That this is a super Hekesh, and despite that fact, we don't allow it to happen. That shows you, or that could be a binyanav, that Hekesh to Hekesh doesn't work in Kodeshim at all. The fact that it did it in the case where it should have been easier to do, and maybe even allowed, nevertheless it says it's not, so that would then be extrapolable to other areas and say that Hekesh to Hekesh just doesn't work anywhere. So Amalei Mar Zutra, Braid the Rav Mari Ravina, Benikshe the Olah, below Nikshe the Chatat. So then why don't you just, to avoid this problem, have the Hekesh to the Olah, and then you avoid the problem entirely. Chatat is learned from Olah, Hashem is learned from Olah. Olah is the source. And then you have a single Hekesh in each case, and you won't have a problem. Hava Amina, Davar Alamei Be'ekesh, Choser Umalamei Be'ekesh. Because I would have thought, Eino Chanami, Hekesh le'Hekesh works. V'chei Teima, Nikesh Akushei le'Chatat. So then if it does work, then why bother saying that it's Ke'olah? Why not just say Ke'chatat? If you really wanted to teach me the fact that Hekesh le'Hekesh works, why bother to write Bimkom Asher Yishchat Et Olah, right? Bimkom Asher Yishchat Et HaChatat. And then I would have actually learned it. Nechale Demekish Le Leikar. Lo Nekish Le Letafel. That's just a simple fact that you'd rather connect it to the core. Maybe in certain instances there is a Hekesh to Hekesh, but if I have a choice between making a Hekesh on a derivative manner or making a Hekesh directly, the Torah is going to opt to say, I'm going to connect it to the source, not connect it to the Chatat. So it's just the fact that it mentions Olah, it's not to teach you or to undermine the fact that there can be a Hekesh Lekesh, and Okanami, Hekesh Lekesh would work. But I connected it to Olah, because that's the source itself. So Mar says, Lahaki Akshay the Chatat, Akshay the Olah. That's why it brought both of them down. Lameimar, to teach you, Davar Lamei Bekesh, Eno Choser Um Lamei Bekesh, to teach you exactly that din. So again, had it written Chatat alone, you would have come to the conclusion that Hekesh Lekesh works. Had it written Olah alone, you would not have had any conclusion about Hekesh Lekesh. You wouldn't have known. You couldn't prove anything from this pasuk because the fact that Olah is the Ikar, and maybe that's what's the driving force over here. So then why does it then compare it to a Chatat? For exactly that reason. To tell you that Hekesh to Hekesh won't work. And even in the context of a chatat, I wrote olah to tell you that ein hekesh lehekesh bekodoshim. So now Rava Amar Mehocha. Rava says, from here, Tichtiv, Kasher Yiram, Mishur Zevach HaShlamim. So what Rava does, and this might be the answer to the question we raised before, which is, how can you prove anything from the Hekesh by the Hashem when it's so explicit? It's an explicit term, connection between the two. It's a Hekesh HaMifurash. It's not a classic type of Hekesh. So that might have been what was bothering Rava. And Rava says, I got to get this from somewhere else. And he brings it from Kasher Yiram Mishur Zevach HaShlamim. That is a pasuk that is written by the Par Kohen Mashiach. By the Par Kohen Mashiach, at the end, the Haktarat Emurim that are put on the Mizbeach, there it tells you all the Emurim that are put on the Mizbeach. And then it has a general statement at the end that says, Kasher Yiram Mishur Zevach HaShlamim Vikteram HaKohen HaMizbeach HaOlah. The same way that you took all the fats off the Zevach HaShlamim and placed them on the Mizbeach, so too you do this for the Par Kohen Mashiach. And the Gemara says, the Mahilchato, what do you need this for? Iliyoterata kavei shteh klayot. If to tell you these additional fats, the yoterata kavei and the shteh klayot, the fats around the kidneys and the areas around the liver, bigufektiv. That's explicit in the pasuk before, which tells you that shteh klayot ve techelav shalem al ksalim. That yoterata kavei klayot yisirenu. It's already mentioned. You don't need that for that. Ela mishum debai agmure yoterata kavei ushteh klayot miparlam davar shel tzibur. It's because of another necessity. Let's take a step back for a second. We know this because we spent a lot of time on this in the previous perek, that when it comes to the Par Helam Davar Shel Tzibur, it is a paradigm for other Parim Nisrafim and Tzrim Nisrafim. That's both for the Par Yom HaKippurim, which is the Par Yom HaKippurim is learnt from Par Helam Davar Shel Tzibur. What's true of Par Helam Davar Shel Tzibur is also true by the Par of Yom Kippur. And similarly, Sirei Avodat Kochavim are learned from the Paralam Davar Shel Tzibur that we spent time on because of the Pasuk Vav V'asa Lapar Kasher Asa Lapar. So that Hekesh, or that Pasuk, tells you that you can extend from Paralam Davar Shel Tzibur to the Par of Yom Kippur and to the Sirei Avodat Kochavim. The problem is that by the Paralam Davar Shel Tzibur, there is no mention of Shtei Klayot and the Yoteret HaKavei. And yet, we want to learn from the Par Kohen Mashiach to Paralam Davar Shel Tzibur that you do have to put the fats of the shtei klayot and the yoteret hakaved on the mizbeach. Now, for the Par Helam Davar Shel Tzibur itself, it's not a problem, because it has a hekesh, the Par Kohen Mashiach. And since you have that hekesh, you can take what's true by the Par Kohen Mashiach and apply it to Par Helam Davar Shel Tzibur. So as far as the shtei klayot and yoteret hakaved, that those fats go on the mizbeach, Par Helam Davar Shel Tzibur, that's a given, because of the hekesh. The problem now is, you want to take that from Par Helam Davar Shel Tzibur and apply it to Par Yom HaKippurim or Sirei Avodat Kochavim. That's another hekesh. And now it becomes a hekesh, the hekesh. And that's problematic. And that's what Rav Papa is pointing out. Why is it necessary to write Kasher Yiram Mishur Zevach HaShlamim by the Par Kohen Mashiach? Rashi notes over here, we're learning here, Im Enu Inyan. If you don't need it for Par Kohen Mashiach, Tzneu Inyan Parlam Davar Shel Tzibur. Place it for the necessity of our Parlam Davar Shel Tzibur. And how does that advantage you? That is because Begufei Loktiv. By Par Helam Davar Shel Tzibur, as Rav points out, Shtei HaKlayot and Yoteret HaKavei are written. Umipar Kohen Mashiach Hod Gomar. You learn it out from a Hekesh to Par Kohen Mashiach. V'ach Yitzreich Kasher Yiram, then have a Keman Dichtav Begufei. So it is as if it's written literally in Par Helam Davar Shel Tzibur. V'lo Nehavi Davar Lameh Behekesh, Choserum Lameh Behekesh. So it won't be a Hekesh to a Hekesh. So this is Rava's proof to the fact that you can't use a Hekesh to a Hekesh. Because if you could use the Hekesh Hekesh, you wouldn't need that extraneous pasuk of Kasher Yiram. You just said, it's true by Par Kohen Mashiach, you have a Hekesh to Par Helam Davar Shel Tzibur, and then for Par Helam Davar Shel Tzibur, you do a Hekesh to Sirei Avodat Kochavim, Hekesh to Hekesh, and we're fine. The Torah doesn't allow for that by saying Kasher Yiram. It says Kasher Yiram, which is unnecessary by Par Kohen Mashiach, therefore, Meinu Linyan, Kar Par Kohen Mashiach, we tell it to Par Helam Davar Shel Tzibur, to tell us as if it's literally written, Shteh Klayot Yoter Kavet in Parlam Darshan Tzibur, so that you can learn the Hekesh to Sirei Avodat Kochavim. The fact that the Torah had to do that shows you it wouldn't have worked the other way. It only works as a Hekesh from being written literally in the Pasuk, but not as a Hekesh, Le Hekesh. And that's Rava's proof to this matter. Rashi here points out, V'kasha, Hakalach Galan Hadrosha Me'asalapar, Ze Parlam Darshan Tzibur. We had in the previous perek that there were those that darshan, Vasala Par, was not about Par Yom HaKippurim, but rather about Par Helam Davar Shel Tzibur. And why do you have to say problem davarish and tzibor if you're speaking in the parshia problem davarish and tzibor? The Gemara there said to make it as if everything in the parshia that was learnt is written or literally written there, so you don't have a problem in hekish to hekish. So Rashi says hanamile l'tana debay Rabbi Yishmael. That Gemara over there is following the view of Tana Bei Shmuel, that the par meant problem davarish and tzibor. Of all the Tana Bei Rav that said that the par there was the par of Yom Kippur, then you don't have that principle. So basically, we need to have it written explicitly within Parlam Tavshon Tzibor to be able to extrapolate from there to other areas. So you have to do it in one of two ways. Tanit Beishmal does that by saying Vasala Par means Parlam Tavshon Tzibor, and even though you're in the Parshia of Parlam Tavshon Tzibor, it's repeated to tell you that there is a repetition of everything in the Parshia as if it's written here. Whereas Tanit Bei Rav, which says that Par is a reference to Par Yom HaKippurim, learns it like Rava does over here from a Sher Yuram. That which is written by the Par Goy Mashiach is now literally written in Parlam Davish and Tzibor, and therefore for both of them we can extrapolate from Parlam Davish and Tzibor to either Sirei of Dat Kochavim or Par Shoyom HaKippurim. But what that shows you is that we do not accept in the Torah Davar Lameid Behekesh Chozer Umameid Behekesh. Amalei Rav Papa the Rava. So Rav Papa then challenges his Rebbe Rava and says V'lich Tevei V'gufei V'lo Nekish. Why don't we have it written literally within the parshia of Parlam Davish of Tzibor, and then you won't need a hekesh at all? Where it says ikad abegifei v'lo ekish, had it been that it wrote it written it literally within the parshia of Parlam Davish of Tzibor, and I didn't make a hekesh havamina, then I might have concluded davar lamed behekesh chozerim lamed behekesh that enochanami hekesh hekesh works. So then v'chi tema nakshe akushe. So then you tell me why didn't you do it that way? Why did you do it through a hekesh lehekesh? Nechalei dechadei begufei, me'akesh lehekushe. The Torah felt more comfortable, or the Torah was happier writing it in its gufei than rather doing it through a hekesh. I mean, you're questioning the methods of the Torah by saying Torah could have done it through a hekesh, and instead it wrote it literally. It wrote it literally because that's what the Torah preferred. Not to teach you that hekesh lehekesh wouldn't work, just that's the preferable method of limud over here. I'd rather have it literally there. And for that reason, you would not have known the din of Ein Lamedim Hekesh Lehekesh. That's why he wrote it by Kepar Kohen Mashiach, to tell you Ein Hekesh Lehekesh. To tell you that you need that pasuk specifically to undermine the possibility of Hekesh Lehekesh. And that's the limud over here for Rova as to how we know that Ein Hekesh Lehekesh. That's why it's written and created the Hekesh. I mean, both the fact that there's a Hekesh between Parak Velam Davashot Tzibor and Parak Kohen Mashiach, in addition to the fact that it's written in the pasuk in Parak Mashiach, which we then use towards Velam Davish and Tzibor, the memra, the Davar Lamein Bekesh, and Chuzer Lamein Bekesh, to teach you that you can't have a double Hekesh within the world of Kodoshim. Tosfot here does ask, how can you suggest Nichtei Begufei, when the Gemara earlier said that the Torah tried to minimize the issues that were written with regards to the Chet of Klai Yisrael, Mipnei Chibatan, because of the love of Klai Yisrael? He says, Yesh lamar b'shvil chivatam, lo haya lo legalgel el drashot the melech mehekesha. So just because of the issue of chibah, that would not be a sufficient reason in and of itself to not write it in the psukim over here, and therefore you can't state the reason for why it's not written here is mivnei chibatan, but rather it must be teaching you something more fundamental, and that is that you can't have hekesh lehekesh. Although if you remember back in the Gemara when dealt with this issue of chibatan, the way that Tosfot is explaining it is the same way Rashi explained it over there, but there we learned that the Marsha explained it the opposite way around. If that's the case, then the question won't even get off the ground, because he says Mipnei Chibatan is a reference to the Korban of the Par Kohen Mashiach, and not to that of the Par Helam Dabar Shel Tzibur. Alright, so now the Gemara moves on to what's going to occupy us for the remainder of today's Daf, tomorrow's Daf, and Daf Nun Aleph as well. Which is, the Gemara is going to take the four core types of limudim that the Torah uses, which are Ehekesh, Gzer Shava, Kal V'Chomer, and Binyanav. And basically what the Gemara is now going to ponder, similar to what it did just before with Hekesh Lehekesh, is to understand within the world of Kodeshim, are you allowed to use these limudim in a compounded manner? So we just proved that you can't use a Hekesh in a compounded manner, which is you have a Hekesh, you can't make a Hekesh Lehekesh. So they ask the same question. If you have a Gzer Shava, can you make a Gzer Shava, the Gzer Shava within the world of Kodeshim, which again we've discussed earlier and we said yes, that definitely is the case, you can't do such. But the Gemara is then going to put up basically a table that has four items on the horizontal, four items on the vertical, and it's going to go through each one and say, if I have a gzer shava, can I make a hekesh from a gzer shava? If I have a gzer shava, can I make a kal vachomer from it? And it's going to test each one of these to try to figure out whether that is or not allowed within the world of Kodushim. Now, what's interesting about this is that the Gemara never gives really any explanation, including what we just went through, to show you that Davar Lamei Be'ekesh, in Chuzer Lamei Be'ekesh, Gemara never gives any reason for that. It says it's not true by Kodushim, even though in the world of Chulin, that is allowed. It's not allowed in the world of Kodushim, but doesn't give a explanation or any detail as to why that is. So we have to speculate on our own, which is that the world of Kodushim is somewhat unique. It is unique in both the aspects of Gzeirat HaKatuv, as well as a certain amount of lack of understanding that we have, because it's not a logical area of halacha. It's an area of halacha that's dictated by Hashem and dictated by the Pesukim. And so therefore, it might be that there's more limitation in our using the principles of Torah Shebaal Peh and Rabbi Yishmael to apply them here because of the dangers of going too far afield of what the intent was by these items or by these korbanot. And there are achronim that actually narrow the scope of this discussion. It's not true by all kodeshim that these things don't apply. It specifically deals with the avodat ha-korbanot, or things that are about the avodah towards Hashem, where it's dangerous to extrapolate. It's dangerous to extend it, because sometimes you could be on the precipice of doing avodah zarah, in a sense, because you're doing something that Hashem didn't ask for. So that's why maybe it's a much more limited scope or range where we allow these types of limudim. But again, that's us trying to speculate about what it is, but the Gemara itself never addresses that issue. So now the Gemara says, Davar lemeid bekesh, inu chuzerim lemeid bekesh, that we know, either me, imi de Rava, from Rava because of Kashir Yuram by Parakoin Mashiach, and therefore we needed that to teach you you're allowed to move the Yuteret HaKaved and the Shtei Klayot from Parlam Davashat Tzibur to Par Yom Kippurim or to Sirei Avodat Kochavim, because otherwise it would have been a Hekesh Lehekesh, or me de Ravina, because the fact that it says by the Hasham, both that it's compared to a Chatat and Ola. Davar lemeid bekesh, maushi lemeid b'gzer shava. Something that's learned with the hekesh, can you then take it and teach it something else with the gzer shava? Tashma, Rabbi Natan ben Abtulumus omer, minayin lepricha b'begadim shehi tehora. How do you know that if a tzarat spreads over the entirety of a piece of clothing, that piece of clothing is tahor? Now that is referencing to what's found in Parshat Tazria. In Parshat Tazria, there's a din with regards to Sarata or Abasar, that when it comes to Nega or Abasar, if it spreads to the entirety of an individual, the Torah says that that person is Tahor. In Parvoach, Tikracha Sarat, Ba'or, Bikista Sarat, Kol Ora Nega Mirosho Be'adra Glav, the Chol Marei Enei Akolein. If the Sarat of the Ora Basar spreads from his head to his foot, meaning over the entirety of the Mitzorah, then the Kohen sees it. That is considered tahor. And the pasuk continues. As soon as the nega retreats and leaves some live, healthy skin, then he becomes tameh again. But there is this idea that when it spreads out of the entirety of the individual, that you are tahor. What they're trying to do here is say the same thing is applicable by bigadim as well. Nemar karachat v'bagabachat v'bigadim. There is a pasuk that mentions both a karachat and balbachat by the tzarat bigadim. Says v'ra'akoyin achrei huka beset anega v'inu lo afach anega etenu v'anega lo pasa tamehu v'esh tisrefenu v'chetet hi b'karachto o b'gabachto. So that's karachat and gabachat mentioned by a beget. And then by tzarat itself, there's also tzarat of the karachat and the gabachat, which are a form of tzarat, which is called nitkin. There is a specific type of tzarat that is in the place of one's head and the place of one's beard. And they're unique. They're different than the tzarat of Ora Basar or Nega Ora Basar. They have different simanei tuma, and they have different dinim that are associated with them. And so there it says, by those nitkin, as they're called, so he uses this term of karachto and gabachto to reference these types of nitkin. So now you have karachat and gabachat mentioned by nitkin, and you have karachat and gabachat mentioned by begadim. Ne'amar karachav ha'gabachat b'gadim, as we just noted. Ne'amar karachav ha'gabachat b'adam, also mentions that by people. Malalan parach b'kulo tohor, just like by people, if the tzarat spreads over the entirety of the individual, he is tohor. Afkan parach b'kulo tohor. And so too over there, by the b'gadim, he is tohor. But remember, as I explained to you before, we're dealing with three different areas of tzarat, of negaim. Deal with negaor basar, where the Torah explicitly says that if it spreads over the entire body, you are tohor. We're dealing with nitkin, or the nega of karachat and gabachat, which are negaim that appear on in a place where a person normally has hair, like their head or their beard. And then you have karachat and gabachat mentioned by bigadim. Now what we're doing is we're taking that rule by orabasar, which says that if it spreads out over the entirety of the individual, then somehow moving that over to nitkin of karachat and gabachat of the individual. And then from the karachat gabachat of that individual, we're moving it over to bigadim. So there's a double limud that's taking place here. And that is, v'hata minolon, how do you know that's true there? Nichtiv, mirosho, v'ad raglav. As we read before, when it spreads out over the entirety of the mitzvah, it says, mirosho, v'ad raglav. Itkish rosho la regel. There's a hekesh between the rosh and the regel. Malalan kulo afach lavan. Just like by ora basar, if it spreads over the entire body, parach b'kulo tahor, then you are tahor. So too by the rosh, and unique nigayim that are associated with the rosh, which are the karachat and the gabachat. Avkan kulo avach lavan, parach b'kulo tahor. If it turns entirely white and spreads over his entire body, he is tahor. But that's just from ora basar to karachat and gabachat. And then from karachat and gabachat, you're extending that to bigadim through a gezerah shava. So you have a hekesh, and then a gezerah shava. Karachat gabachat is the gezerah shava. Hekesh is between the nigaim of the rosh and the nigaim of orha basar. So you see from here that you have a davar lameid behekesh. Some that was originally learned through hekesh is chozer umlameid begezera shava. So that would be a proof that it does work. Amar Rabbi Yochanan bechol haTorah kula lameidim lameid min lameid. Wait a minute. We're not in the world of kodeshim here. You're in the world of mitzorah. In the rest of the Torah, even a hekesh lehekesh works. Forget about a hekesh to gezera shava. Hekesh lekesh works, and we know hekesh lekesh does not work by kodeshim, but still works in chulin. Chutz min hakodeshim sheitanim lameid min lameid. But you can't learn it. So you can't prove anything to me from mitzora. Of course it works by mitzora. Hekesh lekesh works by mitzora. So hekesh gzer shava certainly should work. That doesn't tell me any information with regards to kodeshim. These dinim are specific to kodeshim, or the inability to use these limudim is all about kodeshim. It has nothing to do with the kol haTorah kula. And now Rabbi Yochanan goes on. It's almost like the Gemara jumps without giving you the transitional words to get there, which is that Rabbi Yochanan says, Elam, it's like almost Elam Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan says, this is the source. Dimkein lo yamar tzafona ba'asham. It shouldn't have to say anything about the north by Nasham. B'teitem igzera shava. And we could learn that out of igzera shava to kodshei kodoshim bechatot. From the igzera shava of kodshei kodoshim bechatot. Because by a chatat, in Perkvav, Basuk Yibchet, it says, the Baal Aron Baal Banav Leimor, Zo Torat HaChatat, B'mkosher Tishachet HaOlah Tishachet HaChatat, Ifne Hashem, Kodesh Kodoshim Ho. Then by the Hasham, it says, Zo Torat HaSham, Kodesh Kodoshim Ho. So you have Kodesh Kodoshim, Kodesh Kodoshim. So don't write north by the Hasham. Chatat you know from an Olah, through a Hekesh. And now you want to take that Hekesh, extend it to Hasham, through a Gzeir Shava. That would have been the easiest limud to have. The Tatum Gzeir Shava, the Kodshei Kodeshim Echata'ot. Lav the Memra. What would you conclude from there? Davar Lameid Vekesh. Ein Chozeru Melameid B'Gzeir Shava. That's why the Torah didn't do it that way. And specifically tells you by the Hasham that B'Gom Hashem Ishchatu Et Olah Ishchatu Et Hasham. It teaches you that you need that extraneous language to teach you that din. B'Dilma Shuma Na'ika the Mifrach. Maybe it's because you can undermine that gzeirah shava. Malachatan shekei mechaperet al chayavei kreitot. Chatan always has a trump card, which is that it has the ability to bring kapara for very severe violations, including a chiyuv kareit, had you done it intentionally, so unintentionally you can use a chatan. So maybe chatan is unique in requiring tzafon because of the aspect of kapara that it provides for kareit, which isn't true by the asham. So I wouldn't have been able to learn the gzeirah shava. First of all, you learn a lot of things here about gzeirah shava. First of all, the Gemara is speculating about gzeirah shava that doesn't exist. Number two is the Gemara is saying that logic could undermine gzeirah shava. If gzeirah shava can only be brought by misora, then how could logic undermine it? The answer to that question is that there are different types of Gzeira Shava. There's a Gzeira Shava where you use words from Psukim and you draw the Gzeira Shava, and we say, well, let's test the logic of learning from one to the other, and that can undermine it. But there's something called a Gzeira Shava Mufne. Gzeira Shava Mufne is where the words were completely unnecessary. Since they were unnecessary, the Gzeira Shavas weren't in a way that says, these words are unnecessary, therefore they must be teaching us something. A Gzeira Shava Mufne can be Mufne Mitzad Echad. On one side, the words are extraneous. Umufne Mishne Tzadim. Open on both sides. The Gemara tells us in other places that a Gzeira Shava Mufne is not subject to logical testing. Even if it's illogical, you can still learn it. And that's what the Gemara is about to say here. Kodesh Kodeshim Yitzei Raktibei. The word Kodesh Kodeshim appears twice by Hashemot, and therefore the word is extraneous, and that makes it into a Gzeira Shava Mufne. Gzeira Shava Mufne is not subject to a logical argument. If that's the case, the Gzeira Shava could have worked. If the Gzeira Shava could have worked, then you could have learned this through a Hekesh to a Gzeira Shava. The fact that the Torah doesn't do that seems to indicate that by Kodeshim, you cannot take from a Hekesh and extend it to an Gzeira Shava within the world of Kodeshim. And that's because Parsha Korach, the pasuk says, "Eilecha mikodesh hakodeshim inaish kol korbanam lechol minchatam ulechol chatatam ulechol hashamam asher yeshivu li kodesh kodeshim lechahu ulevanecha." So here you have chatat and hasham mentioned, and it says kodesh kodeshim in the pasuk. So that renders the kodesh kodeshim that's mentioned in Tzav, both by the chatat and hasham, as being extraneous. That means that both of them are mufne. Both Kodesh Kodeshim that is found by Chatat and by Hashem are extraneous. Next, Gzeira Shava is logic proof. Even though it's not logical, it still stands. If that's the case, you could have made such a Gzeira Shava. The fact that the Torah doesn't seems to indicate that in Kodeshim, you can't make a Gzeira Shava from a Hekesh. Although, the Baalei Tosfot later on are going to say that they think the Gemara ended here inconclusive. Even though it seems from Rabbi Yochanan's proof that you can't make a Gzeira Shava from a Hekesh, nevertheless, the Baalei Tosfot later are going to say they think that it was inconclusive with regards to this manner. Okay, we're going to stop here by the two dots on the bottom of Mem Tet Amud Bet.